Hallowed be thy name.
Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. You may be seated.
All right, shall we start with a quiz this morning? What am I going to preach on as I continue in our study of the Lord's Prayer this morning? Do you remember what I preached on last week? Daily bread last week, so which means debts and forgiveness. We won't ask for a show of hands, but let me ask you a question. Have you ever intentionally or unintentionally, accidentally, hurt another person? And I'll continue with the question. Have you ever yourself been hurt accidentally or intentionally by another person? Another question. Have you ever done anything that you believe displeases God? One final question. Who do you think has done things more to displease God, you or the person next to you? Don't. The point, of course, is this. Every single person is in need of forgiveness. Every single person also must forgive others. Every single person. And we're going to look at this one little line, forgive us our debts as we forgive debtors, others. I'm going to share four different lessons on forgiveness. Lesson number one, what is the meaning of this strange little word that we say in the Lord's Prayer, debt or debtors? I have enjoyed doing my word study on this word this past week. It added great richness to my understanding of the Lord's Prayer. We know that different Bibles translate this word in different ways. That's why people say the Lord's Prayer is somewhat different. The old King James Bible uses the word trespasses. The Revised Standard Version, which is what we use for how many decades and centuries, uses the word debts. Some of the newer translations uses the word sins. Isn't it amazing when you go into a service where people are from different, denominational background, and you say the Lord's Prayer together? Those who say trespasses are always get behind those who say debts. What is the meaning of this one Greek word? First, let's look at the word sins. The Greek word is harmartia, transliterated H-A-R-M-A-R-T-I-A, harmartia. It literally means to miss the mark. It's actually an archery term, and it means to miss the mark. What it basically means is that every person understands that God has standards. God gives us a way to live that's in obedience to Him. And every person that sometimes doesn't live up to those standards, every person misses the mark. So all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, says Scripture. All of us, every one of us, miss the mark at one time. But this is not the word used in Matthew chapter 6. It's not the word for used in the Lord's Prayer, which is why most translations do not use the word sins. It is not as accurate a word. The word in Greek in the Lord's Prayer is ophelema, O-P-H-E-I-L-E-M-A, transliterated, ophelema, which is basically a commerce term used in the marketplace, and it means that which is owed or a debt that is owed to another person. It means that it can be translated as a failure to perform a duty or a responsibility that is expected. Let me say that again. A failure to perform a duty or a responsibility that is expected. In all relationships, there are expectations. Right? We know this. We know this as husbands and wives. When you get married, There are expectations and responsibilities. I am called to have the responsibility to give Kim my love. I am responsible to be faithful to my wife. I owe my wife consideration. I owe my wife patience. Also, Scripture is very, very clear. As the husband and as a father, the husband and the father are given the responsibility for the spiritual oversight of the family. If my wife or my children are not growing in their faith, that lays on me. That is my responsibility. Scripture is clear. We need responsibility. Every relationship has expectations. That's also true as Christians. As we know, and we say this again and again, being a Christian means having a relationship with our Lord Jesus Christ. And the most common illustration used in Scripture is the marriage illustration. Okay, Christ is the bride, is the bridegroom of the church. The church is Christ's bride, says Scripture. The marriage illustration. We are to have an intimate, close relationship with our Lord Jesus Christ. That's good news. That's wonderful grace. But as in all relationships, there is also responsibilities. You read every page of Scripture, and you will see the responsibilities that we have as Christians. It affects our thought life. It affects our behavior. It affects everything that we do. Because we are a Christian, because we are in relationship, it affects everything we do, just like it does as a husband. Every action, every thought is based on a responsibility. Now, let me say, this is not a burden. We know that. It's not a burden for us to be in a love relationship with another person. It's not a burden for us to be parents and have the responsibility of parents. As a matter of fact, the nightmare scenario is this. When parents say, well, I just want to be my child's best friend. That's terrible. That's horrible. You don't want that. You need to be a parent. Teaching right and wrong, correcting, loving. You know, the responsibility, the obedient responsibility is to be a parent. The responsibility as a husband and wife is a joy because it's a joy of relationship. The responsibility with Christ is not a burden. So many people see that being a Christian is just as do's and don'ts and a burden. They don't understand the idea of relationship. They don't understand the joy it is to be a child of God and in relationship with our Lord God. And let me say, there are times when I fail in my responsibilities. There are times when I am impatient with my wife. The good news is this. It doesn't break the relationship. We are still married. Now, there might be a struggle. There may be a tense time. But we are husband and wife. We are Christian, a child of God. We could say this in the Lord's Prayer. It's probably rather wordy. But when we say the word debts, know this is what you're saying. We're saying, forgive us our failures in meeting our responsibilities we owe to God, as we forgive others' failures to meet their responsibilities to me. Forgive us. Forgive us our failures in meeting our responsibilities to God, our debts. Forgive us for our failures. Lesson number two. Note the great forgiveness of God that he is offering to us. Forgive us. One of the great attributes, one of the great truths about God is this. He desires to be in relationship with his people. He desires to forgive us. Let me share a text. This is from Nehemiah chapter 9, 17. It says, the Israelites in the wilderness refused to listen and failed to remember the miracles you performed among them. They became stiff-necked and in their rebellion appointed a leader in order to return to their slavery. But you are a forgiving God, gracious and compassionate, slow to anger and abounding in love. Therefore, you did not desert them. We studied the book of Exodus all last school year. And isn't this story amazing? Think of the hand of God in the lives of the Israelites. They had been slaves for generation after generation after generation. And then the Lord God Almighty decided to free them from slavery. Remember, we saw the plagues. We saw the Passover and how the hand of God protected the Israelites. We saw that Pharaoh, the greatest power on the face of the earth, released the Israelites to freedom. But then, remember, we saw them get to the Red Sea, the Egyptian army coming down on them to kill them all. And they witnessed the parting of the Red Sea, the walking through the water, and protection from the Egyptian army. They were in the wilderness, and they complained to God, "What about food? What about water?" And God provided manna. God provided water from the rock. After all these things, then what happened? Again, we saw this. Moses went up to Mount Sinai for 40 days and 40 nights. And what did the Israelites do? They built a golden calf. They abandoned God. And let me say, if I were God, if I were anywhere near God, this would have really, really angered me. I mean, this did anger God. But it would have done more than anger if I had been in God's shoes. I would have said, it's a big planet. There's a lot of peoples. There's a lot of groups. You know, forget the Israelites. I will move on to a new group. Or I would have said, it's a huge, big universe. I have created, God said, many, many planets. I can just forget the entire human race and start over elsewhere. I would have done that after the fall, after Adam and Eve. I mean, just the amazing, amazing love of God, that God did not desert us. And we're the same way. God does not desert his people. We still abandon God. We still go on our own way. And God does not desert us. I have to say, you know, I have been reminded about the struggle that we have as a society the last couple months and all this Planned Parenthood stuff. I mean, how can we as a society just allow babies to be put to death in order for their parts? How can we do that as a society? We are in need as a society of repentance. We as individuals are in need of repentance. Praise God, we have a Lord and Savior who loves to forgive us, who will not desert us, who wants us to be in that intimacy of relationship with him. Praise be to God. Colossians chapter 2 says this: He has forgiven all your sins. He has utterly wiped out the evidence of broken commandments which hung over your head and completely annulled it by nailing it to the cross. He not only forgives our sins, he utterly wipes them out, completely annulled them. For you who have a Catholic background, remember what they do for an annulment in a marriage? They kind of go to your priest, or then they actually have a jury group who says, okay, we annul this marriage, which means it never took place. Yeah, that might be a little bit questionable, but the good news is this. That's what God is saying about our sins. They never took place. They are forgiven. No more. Now, what we struggle with sometimes is with guilt over past mistakes. And when someone comes to me and says, Doug, I'm struggling with forgiving myself, I will simply remind this person of this. One, our Lord Jesus Christ died on the cross for our sins. Scripture makes this promise. He forgives us and he wipes them clean. We are truly forgiven. And we can rely upon the word of God. We are forgiven. We are made new. The old is gone. The new has come. We are new creations in Christ. Praise be to God. He forgives our debts. Lesson number 3, we must forgive others. The Lord's Prayer, as we forgive others. There are three reasons why we should forgive other people when they hurt us. First, we forgive because God forgives us. Again, Colossians 3 says this, bear with each other and forgive what grievances you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgives you. Forgiveness is a responsibility and expectation of Christians. Because God forgives us, we are able to forgive others. There's a second reason to forgive others. Because if we fail to forgive, it destroys us. If we fail to forgive, resentment and bitterness eat us away. I think I've shared before, my mother, the last number of years of her life, lived in absolute anger and bitterness. And let me say this, in much ways, deservedly so. You know, she had a very, you know, very difficult situations. But that bitterness and angerness just ate her away. It was very, very hard, very, very difficult for her. We all probably know people like that, that just can't get past their past, can't move forward, and it's eating them away. We forgive others because it's what God wants us to do, expects us to do, and because it is for our own health. This will really be a show of age here. Okay. How many remember, raise your hand if you remember the Amos and Andy show? We're talking 50s here. We're talking, right, or before, you know, radio, you know, we're talking, now, I don't remember, you know what I mean? So we're talking, you have to be, now, I read this. There was a show on Amos and Andy. And the show, Andy had a friend who in greeting would smack him on the chest. That was his common greeting. And Andy really didn't like that. So in the next show, Andy figured out a solution to stop his friend from hitting him in the chest. He strapped dynamite to his chest. And he then said, you see, this will teach him. The next time he smacks my chest, he'll blow off his hand. That's what it's like to not forgive another person so that we can hurt them. I will never talk to that person again. They have done me wrong. I will just no longer have any kind of relationship with that person. That would teach them. That will show them. Yeah, that might blow off their hand, but it will blow off your heart. It will explode your heart. We forgive others because it is a way for healing to be in our lives, even when it's not deserved. And I know of many situations where forgiveness is not deserved. I know that. It's true. But for our sake and for our Christian walk, we need to, by the power of God and by the power of the Holy Spirit, and often that is the only way. That truly is the only way often. We must forgive others. And finally, reason number three for forgiveness. We need to forgive others because at some time in the future, we will need forgiveness. We walk with Christ, but we still struggle. We still miss the mark. We still fail in our responsibilities, and we will need forgiveness. Therefore, forgive now so we can receive forgiveness in the future. And one final point, we need to do this quickly. Ephesians chapter 4 says this, in your anger, do not sin. There is such a thing as righteous anger. Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry. Do not give the devil a foothold. I know some couples who have made this, they've embroidered this text in Scripture and placed it over their bed. What a great, great way to live as a husband and wife. In your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry. Do not let the sun go down. Finally, lesson number four. And in some ways, this is a frightening lesson, at least to me. We're going to look at that one small word, as. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. You say that every time you say the Lord's Prayer. You know what you're asking? You really realize what we're asking when we say this prayer? Lord God, forgive me in the same level of forgiveness that I forgive the other person next to me. Think about that. We are asking the Lord to forgive us in the same measure that we are able to forgive our brothers and sisters. If we retain bitterness and anger and an unforgiving spirit in our heart, we are asking God to forgive us at that same level. Think about what we say in the Lord's Prayer. Don't make them just meaningless words. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lord God, give me the power and the strength to forgive others so that you may forgive me. Debts. We all owe debts. We all fail in our responsibilities. Every single person here needs to have our past forgiven. We need a clean slate. We need to be made new. Praise be to God. We have a Lord and we have a Savior who forgives us, who desires that intimacy of relationship with us, and forgive us. Forgive us. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. I will pray. Lord Jesus, praise you and thank you. And Lord, we do have this opportunity to have a time of confession. We remember the anger and bitterness that we store up in our heart. We remember the broken relationships that we have. We give them to you. We confess them. We surrender them. We give to you our need for forgiveness. We confess to you, Lord God. And for the times that we fail in our responsibilities to you, we choose a path of selfishness. We choose a path of just ignoring you and living a life as if you are not present. We don't meet our responsibilities to you, Lord. Again, we have a time of confession. We confess these failures to you. And finally, Lord, in this prayer, we remember your forgiveness. You are our Heavenly Father. Our Lord Jesus is our Lord and Savior. And we just praise you. We come to you for a few seconds of just silent praise. We praise your name. We praise you for those that we do have responsibilities with, spouses, children, parents, grandparents, grandchildren. We praise you and thank you that you made us people in relationship. Praise you, Lord God, and thank you, Lord God. In Christ's name, I do pray. Amen. We close with hymn number 351, Rise Up, O Men of God.